We'll chug our way through the August 27, 2010 rain report in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. From the Radio Amateur Information Network, this is the Rain Report. I'm Byron Lee, KC9EEK. Each year at the Dayton Hamvention, former ham radio school teacher and former ham of the year, Carol Perry, WB2MGP, moderates the Teachers Workshop Forum that is aimed at helping those who teach ham radio both in and out of school. One of her speakers this year was Jim Hendershot, WA6VQP, president of Radio Design Group of Grants Pass, Oregon. Jim is a member of the RCA, Radio Club of America's Education Committee, and he was co-founder, along with Bill Pasternak, of Amateur Radio Newsline, formerly Westlink Radio.
What I have to talk about are a lot of little anecdotes, and there were no good pictures or anything to show, but they illustrate several principles that, as instructors, if you haven't already run into them, you're going to. And so you might as well be warned now. I'm going to start with the parents, because this one is sometimes your hardest nightmare. You don't get everybody licensed. You're lucky in a class to get one, actually, sometimes. My batting average is 1 out of every 8, 10, something like that. It's not always easy. The first class I ever did, back in the 80s, now I was a technician class at the time. I was a tech for 18 years before I got my Kodak together. And then they dropped the code requirements. Anyway, I'm teaching this class. I go into the public school, and it was in the Central Coast of California area. The principal comes to me and says, I got a problem. I said, what's the problem? Well, there's this homeschool student that wants to join the class. And California has these rules. If you have a homeschool student who wants to do some optional thing, you got to let him do it. Except I'm volunteering for this. So she's like, are you okay with this? I said, what's not to be okay? Bring the student in. So this kid really was interested. Turns out his uncle was a ham. So he's just really working at this whole ham radio thing. Long before the class gets done, he's got his general. Okay, so now I'm feeling kind of embarrassed, but I'm okay with this. So his uncle gives him a radio. A nice, used, but nice condition FT-101, Yaesu. Now, for those of you who are not familiar with the 101, it's a hybrid radio, solid-state receiver and some tubes in the final and driver type thing. So we're talking, learn how to tune the radio. So I think this is a great teachable moment. I'll go ahead and have the kid bring the radio in, and we'll hook it up to the antennas in the classroom, and we'll teach how to tune the tube radios. Because especially back then, not so much now, but if you were getting a first radio and you had no money, guess what? It was frequently a tube radio, sort of like your 520. I have a 520. I like my 520. I have a lot of old tube radios. I was telling Carol, did she find somebody who needs tubes? Call me. I got 10,000 of them. I restore old radios. I got old Collins gear. I got old Drakes. I got old all kinds of stuff. Anyway, so and I swapped tubes with a bunch of other guys in the Rogue Valley because there's a bunch of old timers who like to play with radios. So I showed the kid how to tune this up, and he gets on the air, and he's just having a ball. He takes the radio home. Next class, it's a Tuesday-Thursday thing, right? So this was on a Tuesday. Thursday, he comes in. This kid is 12, and he's not happy. His radio doesn't work. Oh, what happened? Well, he doesn't want to say totally what happened. So I'm thinking, okay, things happen. So he brings the radio in, and I check, and the fuse is blown. So I put the fuse in, put a new fuse in. I had some fuses. I had a kit full of stuff because my own equipment was kind of cantankerous at times. So I replaced the fuse. Radio comes up. Everything works fine. So he's still reluctant to say what happened. So anyways, dad comes to pick him up at the end of this class. Now, his mom dropped him off, but his dad comes to pick him up. And his dad says, so how bad's the radio? I said, oh, it's fine. It was just a blown fuse. And I says, and the father's like, well, I knew he wasn't doing something right. And right away I picked up there was an issue here. Tell me what happened. And the kid is totally quiet. He's not going to say a word. Turns out the father, who was not a ham and knew nothing about radio, was watching his son tune up the radio and decided he wasn't doing it right. Okay, two words, control freak. We've all seen parents like that. What they call them, I think they have a term for it, helicopter parents, right? They want to do everything and hover around their kids. So he and I had a very direct chat. I decided, this is not going to go well. So I essentially told the guy, your son has a license to run this thing. The FCC authorizes him to adjust transmitters. You don't have that license. Don't do that. Well, the long and short of it was, I guess I was firm enough that the old man never touched the radio again. Right? I think also the uncle may have said something. I'm not sure. But the boy finished the class. He was happy as a clam at high tide, and he was doing his thing, and the father just kind of stayed out of the way because I think he got kind of afraid of it after blowing the fuse, which I could relate to. My dad was totally scared to death of all the radio stuff I was playing with as a kid, but probably for good reason, actually. You know, Gordon said he was interested in people having tricks and stuff like that they do in class. I got to tell you, getting across high voltage in front of the students, that's really exciting. The students really like that. They'll laugh for a long time. It is kind of painful, though, that you do stuff, right? I mean, you know, for your kids, right? That was one of the interesting things that happened. The second one, the school administrators are interesting. And this is the one I want to tell you about because that's really interesting, because the kids are always easy. Adults are a little bit harder to work with. I've had adults in classes. I've taught ham radio classes for adults, and the problem with them is they half the time they don't show up. Their attendance record is really poor. But the kids really tend to show up. They tend to express an interest. They like what's going on. Sometimes you have to work some of the things that they do to your advantage. Example, I'm getting ready to do a ham radio class in a school my grandson is in. He's 10 years old. He's already said, and a lot of the kids are making fun of the whole thing because they're calling it pig radio and this, that, and the other thing. But he says, there's a whole bunch of us that can hardly wait. So even though they're being made fun of a little bit, they're turning it around. And if you can use that, turn that around, say, oh yeah, welcome to the pig radio class, they'll have fun with it.
You're listening to a talk by Jim Hendershot, WA6VQP, given during the teacher workshop at the 2010 Dayton Hamvention. His talk about Murphy's Law of middle school parents and administrators will be concluded in a moment, barring any unexpected visits by Murphy. This is the Rain Report, now on Twitter at www.twitter.com/TheRainReport. We'll be right back.
The way this got started was last year, I hijacked Carol for lunch. I was talking to her about setting up a class. I wasn't sure exactly how to do it locally. And the reason why is I am in the radio engineering business. We design stuff for military and commercial stuff, and we've got stuff on submarines and all kinds of things. The thing I've noticed is it's really hard to find guys that know anything about radio. I go out to hire somebody, and it's a real problem. I'm thinking, you know what, this is not just me seeing this. I know a lot of people in the industry who are having this problem. Increasingly, the people that have any idea of the guts behind the technology, I mean, you know, I got this great iPhone. You know, there's an app for everything. Point is that nobody has a clue what's behind this. I talked to the average person, they didn't even think it's a radio. It is a radio. It has to be a radio, right? So I'm on the advisory board at the local community college electronics program, and they're whining about the fact that their attendance is going, doop, doop, doop. You know, and they're going, we're going to lose funding. So I thought, you know, I really need to start something. So we chatted, and she gave me some great ideas and stuff. And about that time, my grandkids, who live locally, were going to go into this private academy. And I thought, perfect place to start. Middle school and the private academy. Because the public schools are like, yeah, you can relate, right? You know, it's kind of like pulling teeth. So I go to the fall open house, and I meet the principal. And I say, you know, I'd like to, you know, blah, 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 ham radio club station, yada, 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 teach, so on and so forth. She goes, yes. Yes, what? Yes. Okay. Could you explain? Yes, we'd love to have you. Come on down. Do whatever you want. No problem. We have no money. I said, well, I think we can work that out. Yes. All right. The first thing you learn about school administrators, they can get real excited about stuff like this. This is a work in progress. I still don't have a ham class. No club, no station. What's wrong here? Facilities. They're still trying to figure out where to put me. I think we've come to the solution now, but we're so late in the year that it's not going to happen until fall. But it has taken me months because while the principal says yes, she's not in charge of the facilities. The people in charge of the facilities are not so happy. Murphy's Law says if anything can go wrong, it will. Well, guess what? It did. But here's the trick. The end run around this is talking to parents. Now, this is a private school. Private schools? Well, guess what? Parents are pretty involved in private schools because private schools don't have any money, so there's a lot of volunteer work going on. So, of course, as the year progresses, I start making contact with parents, and pretty soon I got a whole bunch of parents going, we need to get this thing, da, 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 da. Pressure starts building on various administrative people, and all of a sudden, it looks like I'm going to have myself a place to put this station. So now all I need is a station. You know about this. I have some equipment, and I could put something together. But I decided, you know what, this is the kind of thing that you want to get people involved in. So I go to my local ham radio club. The theme for Hamvention this year is ham radio clubs being a lifeline. Well, if you're an instructor, and you're trying to do something, go to the clubs. They will help you. RCA will help you. And RCA is the oldest communication society in the world. We are increasingly, thanks to people like Rich and Carol and other people on the committee, we are increasingly able to help people get stuff started. So I go to my local club, Southern Oregon Amateur Radio Club. I get up in a meeting and I say, this is what I'm doing, la, 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 la. Right off the bat, a couple of the guys in the board of directors go, we got this power supply that we're not using, 12-volt power supply. Well, that's always helpful. Let's have a motion. 5 seconds later, I got a power supply. Great. That's a good start. At the end of the meeting, guy comes up. I have a multi-band trap vertical. I'll give it to you. Great. By the time I get all done, I have an Asden HF rig. I've got a Yaesu VHF UHF rig. I've got HF antenna, two power supplies, coax, a coax switch. I'm not sure what I'm going to do with that one yet. I have a promise of a VHF antenna. I'm literally awash in equipment that I can't do anything with yet. But at least now, I have everything I need. I've got people helping me out, instructional materials, everything else. So sometimes the delays that Murphy's Law creates are your window of opportunity to get set up. The key here is be flexible, work your contacts, go to your local clubs, get help, talk to Carol. Like I just told her, I got 10,000 tubes. Somebody got a tube radio, needs some help? Call me. Great, I don't have any problem with that. And there are tons of people in that position. Whatever it is they have to offer, they're more than willing to help. There's one thing I've seen about this is that when you're talking about instructing kids, people come out of the woodwork and help. Whether it's commercial firms or whether it's individual amateurs or whether it's clubs, all you got to do is let the need be known and you'll get there. And that's probably the biggest thing I have to say is just share that you need something and you're probably going to get help. It's not that hard. Jim got lucky because he had a school district that had some funding, but he also went to the clubs because you can't do it. I don't care whether it's a public school with money or not. They're not going to give you everything. There's a lot of stuff out there. People have things. You're going to get there, but you got to make the need known.
The voice of Jim Hendershot, WA6VQP, president of Radio Design Group of Grants Pass, Oregon, member of the RCA Radio Club of America's Education Committee, and co-founder along with Bill Pasternak of Amateur Radio Newsline, formerly Westlink Radio. Jim spoke at the 2010 Dayton Hamvention about Murphy's Law of Middle School Parents and Administrators. The RAIN Report is copyright 1990-2010. RAIN, all rights are reserved. Now for RAIN's founder and producer, Hap Hawley, KC9RP, I'm Byron Lee, KC9EEK, bidding you a very 73 from RAIN, the Radio Amateur Information Network, www.therainreport.com.